In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The late actor Robin Williams once made up a list of the top 10 reasons for being an Episcopalian. One of the reasons being, you don't have to check your brains at the door. It's a clever, if not slightly crass, way of putting what many who worship here relish about our church. And it might even be one of the reasons you're here today. I know when I was looking for a church after college, I liked that in the Episcopal Church, I could ask questions without having the answers predetermined, all while still fully belonging in the community. Wrestling with the questions gave me more ownership of the process. Not to mention, I appreciated how all of the liturgy, ritual, and symbols pointed to a transcendent mystery that I would never fully comprehend, but through which I could explore. As many of us have learned from experience, questions, doubt, and uncertainty don't have to weaken faith. In fact, they can make it stronger. So perhaps it is with this sense that we should read Thomas's role in today's gospel. In the reading, while all of the disciples were hiding out after Jesus' death, the risen Christ appeared to them. And all of them got to see Jesus, except for Thomas, who for whatever reason wasn't there with them at the time. So when Thomas returned, they all told him about what happened, but he wasn't convinced. He said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, I will not believe." Thomas has long been criticized for not believing or wanting to see for himself, which is where we get the insult to be a doubting Thomas. But before coming to such conclusions about Thomas, there are a few things that readers should keep in mind. Like how all of the other disciples got to see Christ for themselves, which means that Thomas was simply asking for the same opportunity that everyone else had. Or how Thomas is invited by Jesus to put his fingers in the mark of the nails and examine for himself. Or how Thomas isn't shunned for his lack of faith. He stays an apostle and keeps his place in their community. Another thing to keep in mind when reading this passage is the author's bias. It's clear that the author of John was trying to motivate belief in the people of his day, and we see this in an authorial note near the end of our gospel reading, which says, "Many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe." John was writing to people over 100 years after Jesus' death, thus making belief without firsthand experience all the more important to him. These are all good things to keep in mind. But still, to wrestle with the central claims of this passage is to wrestle with what it has to say about belief. Like where Jesus tells Thomas not to doubt, but to believe, and then goes on to say, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." If read through the lenses of modern sensibilities, this may be interpreted as a case against critical thinking, saying that we shouldn't seek out proof, but rather embrace a blind faith, or, in a sense, check our brains at the door. But I don't think this is what the passage is challenging us to do. Because the term for belief used in Jesus' day, and when John was writing, is very different than how we understand belief now. When people use the word believe in our context, it usually amounts to saying, I think something is true or not intellectually. But if we look at the origin of the word belief, which is credo in Latin or pisteuo in Greek, which is how it would have been understood by early Christians, it really has to do with giving one's heart to something, trusting as opposed to giving intellectual assent. This form of belief is apparent in Jesus' ministry in all of the Gospels. Jesus invites people to come along not on the basis of whether they can intellectually grasp his teachings. We know most of the disciples don't even begin to comprehend them until after he's died. So it seems they must have left everything to follow him because his mission was one they could give their hearts to, and he was someone they could trust. I'm sure it was hard for them to rationally explain what they were doing to themselves. But perhaps in those transformational moments of ministry to the poor, sick, and outcast, it made sense. For many of us, it's also an inexplicable and yet compelling mission that causes us to follow and give our hearts to this day. This earlier sense of belief, again, not what we can intellectually grasp, but what we can trust and give our hearts to, can be found also in storytelling. In Christianity, we see it in testimony and spiritual story, but it's certainly not limited to Christianity or religious forms. A good secular example is the This I Believe Project, where people write essays about core beliefs they've developed through their personal experiences. In these essays, the author tells a story, drawing all the pieces together with a belief statement, such as, I believe every single person deserves to be acknowledged. I believe my flexibility keeps me going. I believe in adaptation. I believe in the power of music. I believe in my own capacity to have enough imagination and creativity to age gracefully. I believe the American dream is a shared one. I believe in a community in action. Examples like these show how one way to arrive at belief is to begin with a story. In today's reading, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have believed and have not seen." There is a blessing in belief. Not only in having things that we trust and have given our hearts to, but in being able to recognize what those things are and what they mean to us. Because likely it's those core beliefs that will guide us and help us make sense of the world and be there for us in the hardest times and motivate us to live for something greater than ourselves. Beliefs make up so much of who we are, both in our experience of the world and the legacy we leave behind. It's often in these beliefs and the lived experiences through which they are formed that we find God and where the risen Christ appears in our lives. Amen.